Welcome to the Man in the Mirror Bible Study Podcast. Today we are closing out our series in James, and our speaker is Brett Klemmer, president of Man in the Mirror.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Well, guys, it's great to see you this morning. Thanks for coming out, and all the guys listening to the podcast, we're glad to have you listening in as well. We're wrapping up the book of James today. We're going to hit the last two verses, James 5, 18 and 19. But let me ask this question. Do you know someone who has wandered away from their faith but then been restored? Anybody know anybody like that? Has wandered away and then been restored. That's very hopeful. I know men like that. You know men like that. Church history is filled. The Bible's filled with men like that that have been restored to their faith through their friendships. So C.S. Lewis grew up in a Christian home, became an atheist, but this J.R.R. Tolkien and the Inklings, his friends, through spending time together, eventually C.S. Lewis came back to his faith, to a new and deeper faith, an authentic faith, maybe for the first time in his life. Augustine was greatly influenced by a man named Ambrose as he was going through his, again, being brought up by a Christian mom, but never seeing the faith, faith in God take root in his heart. And then through his friend Ambrose was part of the process of bringing him back. And then I think the ultimate story of restoration that we see is Peter, that Jesus, you know, Peter was his friend. Peter may have been his best friend. And after Peter denied him three times, what does Jesus do? He pursues him. And Peter's so excited to be restored that he jumps out of the boat 100 yards offshore, 100 feet offshore, and hikes his robe up and runs in to see his friend Jesus. That's the picture that I have often of when a man is restored to his faith or comes to maybe comes to authentic faith for the very first time. He's been around it his whole life, but it's never taken root. His heart's never been actually changed. And then that moment comes and the scales come off his eyes and he realizes the truth and the beauty of the gospel and the freedom that comes in Christ. And we run to our Savior when we really realize that. And that's a little bit about what James is talking about today. So we're in James 5, 18 and 19. It's the last two verses. Now the epistle ends rather abruptly. So, you know, when Paul writes an epistle, like it always ends with, hey, Timothy says hi. Like half of them are like, Timothy says hi. And by the way, send my sweater and my favorite scrolls and tell Onesiphorus he's doing great. Like it's always like some personal stuff at the end of an epistle from Paul, Pauline epistle as they call it. James is just like abrupt, like he gives these last sort of this last command, excuse me. And as it is the last two verses in the book, it is actually sort of a summary or a distillation of the key ideas of the book. And there's a scholar named Stulak who said this. He said, this is the sort of the summary of James. This is James' main point throughout the book. Genuine faith includes repentance for sin and a life of obedience to Christ as Lord. Genuine faith includes repentance for sin and a life of obedience to Christ as Lord. And so let's look at James 5, 19 and 20 together. Let me get this working here. So here we are. James 5, 19. Ignore the fact that it says 18 and 19 up there. It's 19 and 20. Sorry about that. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. So here we have in these last two verses, sort of everything comes down to this. We live in Christian community. When you have a brother who wanders, go get him and bring him back. That's what James is saying. All of this other stuff that he said about, you know, prayer and right living and all these things, it comes down to this. When a brother wanders from the truth, go get him. So this is our outline for today then. We're going to talk about a wandering brother restored. We'll go through the verses in that first part here. Then we're going to talk about broken community. What happens and why do people break from community? And then finally, he says, whoever brings back a sinner. And we're going to talk about who is whoever. Well, whoever is you and whoever is me. All right. So let's start this with a wandering brother restored. And he says in verse 19, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back. So what does it mean to wander from the truth? What's the truth that James is talking about? Remember, this is a distillation of the book. So let's go back a couple chapters to chapter 1 and let's read verses 19 to 27. And this is the truth. And in my Bible, and probably many of yours, the little heading here is hearing and doing the word. Hearing and doing the word. This is how James approaches the gospel. So he says this, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So how do you know when a man has wandered away from the truth? Is he quick to anger? Is he frustrated all the time? He may have wandered away from the truth. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with weakness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Do you have a brother that you hear from him, that you hear from him filthy things coming out of his mouth? That you see that he's engaged in behavior that is what James would call rampant wickedness? There are men in the church that you know of. There are men in your friend groups that you know of who are walking the Christian life and they've strayed off it, and now they're involved in things that maybe one day you look and you're like, I can't believe that guy's involved in that. You know, maybe it's I've been reading a lot about sports gambling lately, and this is a huge issue. One author called it the OxyContin of the next OxyContin. You know, so we had the opioid epidemic. Well, now we're probably going to have a sports gambling epidemic. We're already in it, and all the major leagues have succumbed to it because there's so much money involved in it. And there's men around you that are believing men that are followers of Christ, and they're getting sucked into sports gambling. It's so easy, right? It's like, I would say that, you know, we have porn, we have the opioid, and then we have sports gambling. Those are all three things that sort of trigger similar things in our brains. They're similarly attractive to us. Do you have a brother that's struggling with a sin like that? That's a brother that's wandered away from the truth. Verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and he goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So if you have a brother who is listening to the word, he's in a Bible study. Every Friday morning, he's in a Bible study. But he's not doing the word. He's not following the things that he's being taught. He's just a listener. He's just a hearer. That's a man who may be wandering away from the truth. We need to have our spidey senses up, right? We need to be looking for that in our brothers. And then finally, verse 26, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, the person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. And so what is the truth? Well, the truth is that a person who is doing the word, who is following Christ, he is sacrificial. He's willing to give to others. He's willing to inconvenience himself for others. He visits orphans and widows. This is the example that James gives. It's not the end all be all, like visit widows and orphans and like you get a ticket to heaven. That's not what it's about. It's about saying, like, when Jesus said it, the way that you treated the least of these, and James is using this as an example, widows and orphans as an example, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Do you have a brother who's been stained by the world? You can see it. You know it. Those are the brothers that we need to pursue. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back. So then the next verse says this then, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. So this is pretty straightforward, except for one part that we're going to talk about. So whoever brings a sinner back from his wandering. So what do you think it looks like to bring a sinner back from his wandering? Audience participation time. What do you think that looks like to bring a sinner back from his wandering? Okay, maybe be confrontational. Yeah. Yeah, point him to the truth. Provide counsel. Love him through it. Good. Be a friend. Anything else? Be an example. Say this again. Lots of prayer. Yeah. So this is, I'm going to tell you what I love about what I just heard. I did not hear, think happy thoughts, right? I didn't hear just give him a gentle nudge, right? Because the world is not gently nudging men away from the truth. The world is getting a lasso going and throwing it out there and yanking it tight and pulling as hard as it can. And so we as men, when we have a brother who wanders from the truth, it's not like, hey man, might not want to do that. I'm praying for you, right? I don't know about you, but that never worked for me. Like, I'm like, that's great. I got to do what I wanted to do, and my Christian brother told me he's praying for me. Like, I get the best of both worlds here. I don't have any conviction. I don't have anybody calling me out. I don't have anybody holding me accountable. I don't have anybody confronting me with the hurt that I'm causing others or the hurt that I'm causing myself or the grief that I'm giving to a Savior who died on the cross for me. It's great. I don't have to deal with any of that. That's not the way that you bring a wandering brother back to the truth. You have to go get them, right? So then here's the problematic phrase here for some people. Whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Now, let's just have a little reality check here. Can you save a brother's soul from death? No. Can you cover a man's sins? No. So what is James saying here? What James is saying here is God forgives, God saves men's souls, but we get to be an agent of that change. We get to be the one that goes and is God's hand, is the earthly expression of God's love and God's kindness and God's mercy and God's desire for a man to come to him that he has called to him. We get to be an agent of that change. We don't have the power to cause the change, but we get to be an agent of the change. We get to be part of God's plan. So when you see a wandering brother, go after him. You are literally part of the process of his soul being saved. You are part of the process of his sins being forgiven. It's a great thing to be part of God's work in that way. And so that brings me, so you're an agent. So that brings me to our big idea, and that is this. Our big idea is this. When a brother wanders, we go get him. When a brother wanders, we go get him. We don't let him sit in his sin and his filth and his slavery to sin. We go after him. That's what Christian brothers do. So how does this happen? How does community get broken? Why do men break from community? This is actually going to be one of your discussion questions too, but let me give you a few ideas and then you can jump off of these in the discussion. Why do people break from community? What's the answer? Well, turn to Matthew 18. And I have a few verses here, so I didn't put them all on the slides. But Matthew 18, scroll in your phone or turn in your scripture. Matthew 18, 15. So I think, obviously, one of the reasons that guys break from community is from their own sin, right? There's sin in their life. They've done something wrong. They've broken relationship. And so because they've broken relationship, they break from community. And so what happens when a brother breaks from community and when a brother sins against you? Matthew 18, 15, Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. This is Jesus saying the same thing that James is summarizing this verse, saying you go and get him. And if you bring him back, you've gained a brother. I think another reason that guys break community is because, not just because they've sinned, but because they've been sinned against. they've been hurt by another believer in the church, or by another a man or someone that they trusted who's a believer, and so they break. But if you go down to Matthew 18:21, Peter came up to Jesus and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times?" And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Like 7 times, like that's a lot. 77 times, that means every time. That's Jesus saying, every time a brother sins against you, when he asks you to forgive him, you forgive him. And so if you're a brother who's considering breaking community, or you've broken community because somebody has hurt you and that person pursues you and asks for forgiveness, forgive him. Not just because it's not some arbitrary rule. It's actually better for you. Why would you let another man's sin break you from community? And brothers, if you're the one that committed the sin against your brother, go and ask for forgiveness. Your act of contrition, your desire to restore relationship, can draw a man back into the community where he so desperately needs to be. All right? Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. So the next reason possible that a man might break from community is because he's been led astray. Chapter 5, verse 7, "You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" Verse 8 says, "This persuasion is not from him who calls you." And so a guy may be led astray. There may be something that maybe it's his priorities have gotten out of whack. You know, and this is a great sentence here. You were running well. You were doing well, but you got pulled away. What happened? And then verse 9 says, what happened? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. So what does that mean? What he means is a little sin taints everything. Pat talks sometimes about putting a drop of dye in the water. Right? And I was at a youth group once, and they put a glass of water up there, and they're like, "Hey, who would drink this water? You know, it's pure." And they go, I'll drink it. And they take a drop of yellow food coloring, and they put a drop, and they go, "I just put a drop of pee in the water." But it, I mean, it's so diluted. Like, you can't taste. It's so diluted. It's not, who wants to drink the water? Well, nobody wants to drink that water. A little sin taints your whole life. A little leaven leavens the lump. So this is also why in a community, when you have somebody that is bringing sin into the community, when they're acting in a way that undermines relationship, that undermines the gospel, you have to confront it. You have to go after it, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump and it breaks community. Turn back to Revelation chapter 3. There's a very famous passage in here about the church in Laodicea. Chapter 3, verse 15. God says, "I know your works," to the church in Laodicea. "I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, 'I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing,' not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked." So we can get lukewarm. And how do we get lukewarm? Because we get too comfortable. I've prospered. I'm doing well. You know, God has blessed me. How many times have you seen guys that are like, they really are doing well? You know, the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. Frustrating sometimes, isn't it? When you like acid rain to fall on the unrighteous, but the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. But when a man prospers, he begins to believe that he's prospering because of his own good work, because of his own effort, and he's not recognizing that everything he has is a gift from God. James says this, every good gift, right? Every good and perfect gift comes from above. When you forget that, you become lukewarm. And then finally, turn over a few pages to 1 John 1. Some men stray because they simply doubt their salvation. Maybe something happens in their life that undermines their faith. Maybe they have a wayward child. They lose a fortune. I know I was at a men's event once and a guy came up and he was just, he was very well put together, but he was, you could look at his face and see that he was devastated. And he had just found out in that last week that he had made a bad financial move, and this fortune that he had, at least a fortune in his eyes, that he had worked very hard over years to faithfully save, he had lost it all in that week. And through some bonehead, dumb decisions. And he was, and part of his question was, how could God let this happen to me? Maybe, you know, how could this possibly happen? And guys start to doubt their faith sometimes when things go wrong. Illness, you know, lots of different reasons that guys have this. Well, what does the Bible say to that man? It says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You're going to have guys that say, well, I mean, I really screwed up. I must not be saved. Well, if you didn't care about it, I might agree with you. But if you have remorse over your sin, if you hate your sin, and you're desperate for God to forgive you, that's a sign of the Holy Spirit working in your heart. And it's not about your faithfulness, my brother. It's about God's faithfulness. It's not about whether you deserve to be forgiven. It's about the fact that God chooses to forgive you. It's not about measuring up and always being righteous. It's about relying on Christ's righteousness. And this says God cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And so when a brother doubts his salvation, we have to remind him of these truths, which brings us back to the big idea. When a brother wanders, we go get him. So, if you're going to go after a brother, though, let me just remind you of two truths. The first truth is this: you cannot bring back a brother you don't know. You cannot bring back a brother you don't know. So you might say, oh, so Brett's letting me off the hook. If I don't know God, I don't have to go after him. No. You need to know your brothers. That's the key. You're sitting here, guys, on a Friday morning every week at a table full of guys. Do you really know your brothers that you sit at the table with? I hope so. Because are you real? And then here's the other thing. You cannot be brought back if no one knows you. So are you sitting at your table? Are you sitting in your Sunday school class? Are you sitting in your small group or at a one-on-one relationship that you have? But you're really not being vulnerable. You're not being open. You're not letting anybody really know you. If no one knows you, or if you don't know your brothers, it's really, really hard to fulfill this command in the scripture to go get our brothers who wander away from the truth. We've got to know each other. We need to be engaged. We've talked about this before in intentional spiritual friendships. Young men need an older, elderly elder, a mature man in the faith who is walking alongside him, who knows him. And as brothers, we need guys in our own peer group who know us, who can challenge us, who can confront us, who can hold us accountable. Not because they have some like legalistic checklist, but because they love us and they want us to be in right relationship with them and in right relationship with God. We have to be known, and we have to be willing to be known. So then, let's get to our last point here, and that is that whoever brings back a sinner, it's not someone else. It's you and it's me. So my first question is, are you the wandering brother? Are you the wandering brother? If you're the wandering brother, let me just say, please reach out. Reach out to someone and be known. Reach out to someone and be open and honest. Reach out to someone and ask for help if you're the wandering brother. But let me tell you guys, if you're not the wandering brother, don't expect that from your wandering brothers. Don't expect them to come back. They're wandering. So you're going to have to go pursue them. So are you the restoring brother? Going back to 1 John 1, let's go back up earlier in this passage and read this. Verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. For if we walk in the light as he is in the light, listen to this, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So listen carefully to John's order here. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. And then he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So in other words, guys, you're going to have sin. Paul says this, right? He says, the things I don't want to do, I keep on doing. The things I want to do, I don't do. Who can save me from this body of death? Praise God, Jesus Christ, our Lord, will save us from this body of death. This is not about perfection. This is about pursuing a wandering brother, walking in fellowship, in the light together, challenging each other, helping each other, holding each other accountable, reminding each other that we're forgiven, that we're cleansed from unrighteousness, that we're no longer slaves to sin. This is brotherly fellowship, and that's what the Bible calls us to. So walk in that light. Remind your brother of what Jesus has done. And remember that confession is what leads to forgiveness and righteousness. So do you have to do this? Do you have to do this? I don't want to be legalistic, but yes. So turn over to Ezekiel chapter 3 and listen to this passage from Ezekiel 3:17-21. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die for his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die for his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. You will have done what you were called to do. Again, if a righteous person turns from his righteousness and commits injustice, wanders away from the truth, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you have not warned him, he shall die for his sin, and his righteous deeds that he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the righteous person not to sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning, and you will have delivered your soul. I'm pretty sure James had just read Ezekiel when he wrote these last two verses, right? If you warn the righteous person not to sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning, and you will have delivered your soul. We are called to do this. We are called to go after our brothers. So let me give you one final note on this, all right? Turn over to John 6, because I want to give you a sense of assurance. If you are a wandering brother, or if you are worried about a wandering brother, John 6, 39 and 40. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So brothers, let me just remind you that nobody that the Father has given to the Son will the Son lose. Nobody that the Father has given to the Son will be lost. We're playing a role. We are an agent of this. And brothers, if you've wandered away from your faith, I just want to warn you that Jesus is not going to let you go. And you can come back the easy way, or you can come back the hard way. But brothers, if we will pursue that wandering brother, that brother that's wandered from the truth, we can help restore him. We can bring him back into a fruitful life, a righteous life that pleases God. When a brother wanders, we go get him. One final story. We had an example of this. We had a church come for one of our No Man Left Behind trainings early on. And there was this group of guys from Hawaii. And the pastor and the men's leader were large fellows. I would say the short one was 6'4", 250. All right. And so, and they're great. They also brought their ukulele. So we ukulele worship with these big, huge guys playing ukuleles. It was pretty fun. But they told us the story. Something had happened literally the week before they came is a perfect example of this. And they said, yeah, we had a call from a woman in our church. And she said that her husband was leaving her. He was packing up his stuff and he was leaving her. And so I said, we were like, wow, well, what'd you do? And he said, these two big guys are like, we went and visited him. And I said, you went and visited him. What did you do? What'd you do to him? And they're like, well, we told him he wasn't leaving his wife that day. And later on, I followed up with them. I actually got to go to Hawaii and see these guys. And I'm like, whatever happened to that guy you told me about? And they're like, his marriage is restored, active in the church. He wandered away from the truth. These guys confronted him. They held him accountable. They brought him back. There's a great thing about guys. You know? We can go get each other. We can say tough things to each other. We can bring each other back. We can restore each other. And when you do that, you get to be an agent for the power of God. So I invite you to be a part of that. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for building us into your church, into this great community, Lord. We know, Lord, that our community is made up of sinners, and so it's not a perfect community. Lord, we know that we hurt each other sometimes and we grieve those hurts. We know that we stray from your truth sometimes. And we ask the Lord that you would forgive us when we do that, Lord, and send brothers after us to pursue us when we wander from the truth. And Lord, when we see a brother who's wandering, would you compel us, Lord, to go get him and bring him back so that he can be in your will, so that he can experience your forgiveness, so that he can be cleansed from his unrighteousness, Lord, so that your kingdom can be built, Lord, so that you can receive the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can find the Man in the Mirror Bible Study wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as on our YouTube page. If you have found this helpful, please subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and share the podcast with friends. Since 1986, Man in the Mirror has been teaching the Bible, helping us reflect deeply as men and apply God's truth to our lives. This Bible study is recorded in front of a live audience every Friday morning outside of Orlando, Florida. If you need help navigating your life or leading other men, please go to maninthemirror.org and check out our vast library of Bible study videos, blogs, and articles on Christian growth and leadership. There are plenty of resources you can use to grow in your faith and help others grow too. At maninthemirror.org, you will find books written just for men, helpful materials for your church's ministry to men, and even a potential career in men's discipleship. If you're a man personally struggling in life, or you need help in discipling men, please send us an email at biblestudy@maninthemirror.org and let us know how we can help.